have a little bit of a frog this morning, so just bear with me. We've been going through the Gospel of Mark, and we're in that time where Christ has been betrayed, and he's gone through an illegal trial, or is going through it as we get into this text today. But I entitled this, The Weight of Cowardice. And you know, if you look at the bulletin boards out in the foyer, you can take a look at those if you didn't see them this morning. On this side, Rhonda put a scripture from 1 Corinthians that starts out, stand firm. And on the other side, on this side, is some artwork and whatnot that she put out there talking about the full armor of God. And so there's a neat picture of a soldier and all the armor. And it's worth taking a look at. Because standing firm is what God has called us to do. And in our witness in this life, we are called to stand firm, to speak the Word of God in a loving way to a lost world because people need Jesus. But the problem is that we are human beings. And being human beings, we have a natural desire to protect ourselves from harm. And sometimes we can feel intimidated by circumstances or by people when an opportunity comes to talk about Jesus. Or if someone asks, so are you a Christian? It's easy enough to say yes, but if they want to challenge us a little bit on our beliefs, sometimes we can be a little fearful. And that's normal. Feeling fear is just the reminder that God's given us to be able to recognize that there's impending danger. But sometimes we let fear overpower us and silence us, or even to go in reverse and disavow what we really believe. Fear is a powerful, powerful emotion. And in our world, the pressure is there to try to keep us quiet, but sometimes the pressure that's there is in our own minds and our own hearts. And so we have to look at how we respond to situations where we have an opportunity to share Christ with others. Am I afraid? Am I afraid of what I'm going to say? Am I afraid to admit I'm a Christian? Am I afraid to say that I disagree with other people because I agree with the Bible where they disagree with the Bible? Am I afraid to speak out with the truth? And sometimes, that can happen to us momentarily. Usually we're not shy, but we have a moment where we back off. Fear takes over. And sometimes defeating fear is a matter of growth. And we're going to see a bit of that as we look at this passage today with the Apostle Peter. This takes place in Mark 14, beginning in verse 66. Jesus has been in the high priest's house. He's been going through this illegal trial. We already have seen he's been beaten and spit upon and made fun of and challenged. And Jesus has kept quiet. So in verse 66 it says, while Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene Jesus, she said. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said. And he went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, this fellow was one of them. Again he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he broke down and wept. Mark's account, like so many other accounts that he's given, is a little bit shorter than the other gospel accounts. But it gets right to the point of what's happening. First, Peter was there in that courtyard because he cared about Jesus. Yes, he was kind of playing it low, but he was there because he wanted to know what was happening to Jesus. You know, as Christians, we care about the Lord. We care about the truth. We care about a right relationship with God. And we look at our world and we see the terrible things that go on that reject the very word of God, reject God's authority, and we feel bad about it. But oftentimes what we want to do is kind of cower and, you know, not speak up and not say anything. And that's where Peter was. But Peter felt increasingly threatened by those around him. First, the servant girl recognized him as one of the apostles. And why not? They'd been with Jesus over 3 years, so certainly they all would have seen the 12 with Jesus from time to time. But she recognized him and said, "You know, you're surely one of Jesus' followers." And he says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, right away that self-defense mechanism kicked in. You know, and keep in mind, Jesus has been arrested and carried off to an illegal trial, being mistreated. This had never happened before. Jesus had always walked through the crowds when they wanted to harm him. He always had the upper hand. No one ever could out-reason Jesus. And here suddenly, here's Jesus arrested, bound, beaten. And Peter, I'm sure, is confused. And if they could do that to Jesus, what could they do to me? And so that sense of self-preservation kicks in. Well, that's easy enough. But then a little bit later, the servant girl, other gospels say it might have been a different girl, saw him near the entryway. You know, he's got to a place where he thinks he can get away quick if he's recognized again. He said, "Well, surely you are. Surely you're him." And she's telling other people. And I'm sure Peter didn't like being noticed that much. And he said again, "I don't know. I don't know this guy. You know, I'm just here warming myself. I don't know this guy." But now he's further alarmed because it's not just the girl. Now she's told other people. A little bit of time goes by again. And some of the men standing there said to Peter, "Certainly, you're one of those guys. One of those guys that has worked with Jesus." And notice how Peter responds. The first two times it was a mechanism that we all have of self-preservation. But now Peter says, he denies it. He calls down curses from heaven upon himself. What we might say, we see it in the movies and all, if I'm lying, may lightning strike me. You know, that's the type of thing. But this wasn't said in jest. This was earnest. He was calling down heaven as a witness that he did not know Jesus. Think about that. Jesus and Peter were close friends. Peter was part of Jesus' inner circle with James and John. Peter calls down as a witness from heaven that he didn't know Jesus. And he swore. And then he said again, "I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about." And as soon as he said that, a rooster crowed for the second time. Now it's interesting, in his sense of self-preservation, Jesus had told him, "When you hear the rooster crow the second time, you will have betrayed me 3 times. And Peter had said, "Oh, no, that'll never happen." That's what he had said before. But it's interesting, it took 2 rooster crows. The first one probably just only mildly entered his hearing, his brain. It wasn't enough to wake him up, but it was a warning. But by the time it crowed the second time, Peter became aware of his sin. One of the other gospels says that at that moment, as he came to that realization, as that rooster crowed, they had been leading Jesus out to go to the Romans. And at that very moment, their eyes met. Can you imagine how horrible Peter felt at that moment? One, of doing the horrible cursing that he just did and denying Jesus. Then hearing the rooster crow, remembering the words of Jesus, and then at the same time looking Jesus in the eye. And it's no wonder he broke down and wept bitterly. Other gospel accounts say he fled from the place. He found a place in solitude and just broke, his heart was broken and just cried and cried and cried. Now, why is this all here for us? You know, I'm sure Peter wasn't initially happy, you know, having this story about himself being repeated at his great failure, his horrendous failure. But I think God wants us to understand something about not only Peter, but about ourselves. Because Peter was just a man. There were things about Peter in his character that still needed some tuning up. Peter was always impetuous. Peter always spoke before he thought. He always acted before he thought. And here, as time comes, Jesus says to his disciples, "You're all going to desert me." Peter says, "Not me. Not me." And even in the garden, it was Peter who struck the high servant with a sword. Peter was ready to defend Jesus. He was a brave man. And yet, when it came down to being unarmed and being with other people that were strangers to him, he behaved as a coward. Peter, of all people. But Jesus said to Peter, "You will deny me three times." Now, why? Why? Why did Jesus tell Peter, "You're going to deny me"? Why three times? And I think what was happening here, again, Jesus was always in control. He was going to take Peter and fine-tune Peter. Peter, he knew, was brave. Peter would stand up with him. But there was still some weakness in him. There was still that sense of fear about what other people think. Afraid of what other people might say about him. Now, this fine-tuning didn't do its total job with Peter, because later on, when you read in the book of Acts, Peter is having dinner with some Gentile Christians, and Jewish Christians come along and say, "Hey, what are you doing eating with Gentiles?" And Peter right away got up and separated himself. And the Apostle Paul happened to be there, chewed him out for it. He was still a little bit concerned about what people thought of him. But I think what's happening here is Jesus is teaching Peter in a very strong way. This is your natural inclination for self-preservation. You don't know to what streams you might go to in order to spare your life. You don't know how far you may go to deny Jesus in order to save yourself from harm. But I'm going to show you. You are going to deny me three times. I'm going to give you three opportunities to say, "Yes, you are my disciple." I'm going to give you three times to say yes. And I know each time you will say no. And of course, Peter, no. But Peter failed the test. And as we know from the other gospel accounts, after the resurrection, as the disciples met Jesus in Galilee later on, they're sitting at breakfast eating fish. And Jesus asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And each time Peter answers, but not exactly the way Jesus asked the question. But I just imagine that poor Peter, having wept bitterly, his heart broken at his own failure, his own rejection of Jesus, when he saw Jesus again, had to be rather timid and humbled. And that morning when they were having breakfast with Jesus, he and others had been in a boat fishing all night, and then they saw Jesus on the shore. What happened? Peter jumped in and swam to shore. The others stayed in the boat and rowed to shore. They both all got to the shore at the same time. Impetuous Peter again. But I think he was eager to apologize. And as they're sitting around that little campfire eating fish, and Jesus asks him three times, do you love me? Each time he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Think what Jesus was telling Peter was, okay, you have seen the depths of what cowardice does. You have felt how hard it is when you deny so strenuously that you know me. Now you know. So now be strong and courageous. Does that sound familiar? It's what Moses told Elijah when he went into the promised land. Be strong and courageous. To Joshua, hold to the word. To Peter and the other apostles as well who were all sitting there. Be strong and courageous. Feed my sheep. Give them the word. Look after my flock. Lead them to Jesus. And Peter now knows he's been restored in Jesus' eyes. Peter's a bit humble. And I think that's the point for us when we look at our own lives, how many times we might have failed when the opportunity came for us to speak up about Jesus and we didn't. Or maybe even times where we were, are you a Christian? And we just kind of hid in the background. The point is to learn from those failures, to learn from those times when we've been weak, and to allow ourselves the opportunity to grow in our relationship with Jesus. Jesus knows we're weak, but he calls for us to stand firm. And oftentimes that's a growing process, to grow in our confidence in Jesus Christ. Peter's confidence had been shaken because he didn't expect Jesus to go through what he was going through. But after the resurrection, it all made sense. And so for you and I, in our lives, are things that don't make sense. But we have to trust God. We have to trust what God does in our lives. Sometimes he puts things in our way, just like for Peter, not to test us, but to teach us. Peter had those three challenges and failed miserably. But then Jesus still gave him opportunity to bounce back. And for you and I, we may fail and we may fail miserably as Christians. And know we have. But in God there's forgiveness and there's grace. And there's help to become stronger in our relationship with Him and our service to Him. Peter went on to be the keynote speaker at the day of Pentecost, the day the church officially began. He wrote two letters of the New Testament. He was crucified for Jesus. One day we get to meet him and talk to him. And whatever our experience in life, as we sit and maybe reminisce about our victories in Christ, but our failures as well as human beings, Peter will be able to say, oh, hey, let me tell you about it. I've been there. I've failed miserably. But it's because of Jesus that gave me the courage to keep moving on, to keep doing what he called me to do, even to face death for him. If not for Jesus, I could not have done it. And likewise for you and I, doesn't matter what our failures, doesn't matter the past. What matters is, are we learning and growing in our love and relationship with Jesus? Based upon his ongoing forgiveness for us and his willingness to build us and strengthen us to serve him. Many times young people wonder, could I serve God? Could I do what he wants me to do? I don't know. Even as we get older, we can wonder, you know, no matter what our age, am I still useful to God? Is there something that God still wants me to do? And the answer is always yes. There's always more God wants us to do. Opportunities are around us all the time to speak up on behalf of Christ in this lost world, in the place we work, in the home, wherever we volunteer, opportunities come up. Other opportunities come up. Some of our members have gone to the Philippines for short-term mission trips. I have friends right now that are in Zimbabwe at this time with Alistair Hall. One of the missions that I support separately is called C2C, letter C, number two, letter C. It's a Chinese mission out of New Hampshire, and they minister to mainland China and Taiwan. In fact, right now they're looking for English-speaking, natural English-speaking people and musicians to help and go to Taiwan this summer to help in vacation Bible school and camp. If anyone's so interested, you know, let me know. I'll pass that along. And they do a marvelous work. Courageous people looking for more courageous people, or looking for people that aren't quite so sure, aren't quite so, you know, solid, but want to be more so. Opportunities come. And sometimes we just have to step out and say, "Here I am, Lord. You can count on me. I'm weak, but you are strong. And Lord, in my feeble way, I will trust you. And I will speak out, and I will serve, no matter what the cost. Just, Lord, please help me to be able to meet that cost." Right now, we're going to sing the song called "Wonderful, Merciful Savior." And that's the whole point. You know, we can fail, and we can fail, and we can fail. But if we don't give up on Jesus, Jesus will not give up on us. He is merciful to us because he knows our weakness. If he could forgive Peter and empower Peter after denying him so demonstratively, then how much more can our God forgive us and be merciful to us? It's not enough for God to say, "There, I forgive you," and then that's it. It's always, "I forgive you, now get back on your feet and let's keep moving forward. Let's keep doing what I've called you to do, because I am with you to the very end of the age. I will never leave you." Let's stand together, shall we? And sing together.